Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
I am grieved to say that my friend, Evangelist Carlton Clark, has passed on. He has gone to his eternal reward, and I will wait to see him again on the other side. As a tribute and to honor this precious friend, I'm going back into our archives and bringing forward an interview that I did with him for our broadcast back in August of 2014. The title of the broadcast was Freedom. This was Evangelist Carlton Clark. Welcome to the broadcast. It's our pleasure to introduce you to Evangelist Carlton Clark from Phoenix, Arizona. And Brother Clark is here with us in our studio. And you are due to be with us in our upcoming Fresh Oil Conference. And you're one of our speakers in that conference. And your time slot is Sunday morning, August 31st at 10 a.m. And that's at Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. Welcome to our broadcast.
Thank you, Brother Joseph.
It's our pleasure always to introduce our listening audience to apostolic ministries that we are privileged to get to know, and we have been blessed to become acquainted with you and to have you speak into the life and ministry blood of our church. The scripture says in Psalm 92:10, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And in your ministry to our church already in previous days, you have blessed us greatly, and we are looking forward to your ministry coming up Sunday, August 31st. Tell us a little bit about your ministry, your background, and give some glory to God.
Well, I grew up as an Air Force brat and was privileged to travel for 21 years with my father, and he did all the heavy lifting as a military man. And growing up in an Air Force family, we did get to see a lot of things in and out of the country. And it was in 1974 that we moved to Tucson, Arizona, my birth hometown. And we began to see the Lord do some wonderful things in my family. First, my younger brother came to this precious truth and began to live it before the rest of us. And one by one, he was used of the Lord to convert my family to truth. I was the last member of the family. It was five of them praying for me, and I was doing my very best to get away. But God has an amazing habit of wherever you run and wherever you stop to rest, he's already there waiting for you. And the Lord, being so merciful to me, saved me from myself and from my enemy. And that was in 1980, and I have been on this amazing adventure with Jesus ever since, the Lord calling me to preach in full-time ministry in 1991. And we have been traveling for the Lord Jesus ever since.
Wow. It's kind of intriguing to me how much we have in common. My dad was also career Air Force. Did your dad ever, your dad did come in and serve the Lord?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
We don't have that in common. My dad never did. He was eaten up with depression and took his own life. And we tried to work with him. But, you know, there's that freedom of choice that an individual has, and the Lord won't overrule that.
That's right.
But, and I've heard you mention a few details before about how the Lord led you into the place of the ministry of an evangelist. Tell the folks a little bit about how that happened.
Well, when I came to the Lord, and he so marvelously cleaned up my life and helped me get my act together, I wanted to see some friends and some people that I cared about discover the same preciousness that I had. And so I began to bring the Word of God to them in the form of small little home Bible studies. And God was very good and used my efforts to talk to them and to show them His goodness. And soon there was quite a number of friends that had come to the Lord. And through teaching home Bible studies, I saw that people, when they really see the word for themselves, and of course the Spirit will deal with you as you open your heart when you open your Bible, they're going to almost automatically make the right decision. And that is what I saw happening. And the more that I taught home Bible studies and saw some success in people coming to the Lord, the more convinced that I was that what God had done for me and what God wanted to do through me was to help people find what he had brought me to and deliver people literally from what I had been delivered.
Wow.
And in that process of time, the Lord called me to ministry, to full-time ministry. And when the door opened for me to begin to travel, my pastor told me that as long as the doors open, keep walking through them. And when the doors close, come home. And in 91, when I started out, I saw all of these green lights in prayer as the Lord was moving me toward this full-time ministry. And I got scared and went home and prayed some more and asked my pastor about this whole situation, at which point he told me about if the doors open, walk through them. And I did so, and we have been traveling ever since.
Wow. I'm sure in all these years of evangelistic ministry, you've seen some pretty amazing things happen. Tell us, testify about some miracles that you've seen, either physical or healing miracles or lives changed. Just give some glory for what you've seen the Lord do.
Well, one situation I remember very clearly, in fact, it was on my birthday, and I was in Bellingham, Washington, and we were in revival, and it was before it was time for me to preach, and we were worshiping and singing to the Lord, and this congregation was really feeling the power of God, and worship was becoming very spontaneous, and people began to speak in tongues and dance and shout to the Lord. And there were an immigrant couple that was there, and they were from the Eastern Bloc. I had no idea at the time exactly where they were from. And I went to pray with them and prayed for the mother of the family, the wife of this home, laying my hands on her head praying. And I began to speak in tongues as my prayer was taken over by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I prayed for her husband, and they both began to rejoice. If they were worshiping God, they suddenly went into overdrive. And afterwards, at the end of the service, they came up to me to shake my hand and to thank me for coming to pray for them. And the husband asked me, they always called you Pastor Clark, it seems. He asked me, "Pastor Clark, do you speak Ukrainian?" And I said, "No, I barely speak English." And he said that when you prayed for me and my wife, we both heard you say in perfect Ukrainian, "Drink and enjoy, drink and enjoy." And so we did. And we got a liberty worshiping God. And I've always carried that with me.
Wow.
When you speak in an unknown tongue, as the Spirit gives the utterance, you never know. It may be a tongue of angels, or it may be a tongue of men. In this case, it was Ukrainian.
Wow.
And I know that I know I can't speak Ukrainian. It was the power of the Spirit speaking through me. And on another occasion, I remember coming to a church to speak to them about revival and about surrendering to a move of God, and seeing the Lord, or believing the Lord to see them through situations and do exactly what they were hoping that he would do in their community. And God so marvelously moved in this church setting that we saw a man literally reach into his pockets, and he pulled out cigarettes and he pulled out contraband, and he pulled out bullets, and he laid them on the altar. Weeping, said, "I don't want these anymore. I don't want this anymore." And we were just for a split second taken aback watching him pull these things out of his pocket. You never know what people come to church with and what's in their minds and what they've been doing or where they've come from. And he prayed and wept and looked totally troubled and totally burdened before he made it to the altar and pulled all these things out of his pocket. But when he got up, you could tell that his confession and his prayer had been heard on high, and that he was now totally free, and he left all that stuff there. And as far as I know, he never ever went back to that again.
Praise God.
Just absolutely amazing what God will do if we will just ask him to.
Amen.
And if we'll be serious with him, God will be serious with us. Just wonderful, wonderful stuff.
Understanding that right now, as this broadcast is aired across several, quite a few counties in West Virginia, it's almost certain that someone in our audience today is struggling with real depression, not just a little bit of discouragement. I'm talking about the kind of continuous 24-hour-a-day pain that actually causes sane people to actually consider taking their life. And in some cases, people affected by this do take their life. And there's a recent instance in the news. Everyone's talking about Robin Williams, the famous actor and comedian who took his own life. And for the benefit of our listeners that are struggling with depression, what advice would you give them about how to get a hold of God to get healing from that spirit of heaviness that they carry?
Well, number one, I would want people to understand that depression is a black-winged spirit, and that much as we see in literature and what's become popular in our culture, the vampire character, depression acts and operates in the spirit realm pretty much exactly like that. It feeds on your vitality. It feeds on your strength. It feeds on your joy and your peace. That's what it wants to rob and to take from you and to move you to take your life ultimately.
It's just practically parasitic in
nature. It is almost completely parasitic in nature. And I'm not talking about where there are genuine physical problems that require medication, although spiritual problems, because of the things that they produce in the physical realm, can to a degree be treated with narcotics or with medication. But the spiritual aspect of depression and this spirit that will attach itself to an individual, this can be overcome. And it can be overcome, first of all, by seeking God from a sincere place, not of desperation, that because God never really responds to begging, but God does respond to faith.
Amen.
And if an individual can come in faith, "God, you are my answer. God, you are my deliverer. You are my healer. And you are my joy and my salvation. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to serve you. And I do not want this depression. I do not want this heaviness." For a time, I actually suffered with this spirit and with this problem, it trying to tell me that I couldn't do and be what God had called me to do and to be. And the Lord led me to get up and to go ahead, not to sit still, not to keep the windows closed, not to feel sorry for myself or dwell on what was wrong or missing from my life, but to look to Him and to look to His goodness, to count my blessings, to count them out loud, because there's power in what we speak and in the way that we speak it. Don't keep the curtains closed. Open the windows and the curtains. Let the light come in. And when I began to do that, and when I began to move forward, though I didn't feel like it at first, my feelings transformed as I made up my mind I was going to give God the glory and I was going to pursue Him. And at some point, the blessing of the Lord, His literal blessing and embracing me, gave me strength, and I saw myself delivered from that spirit of depression. I saw myself get the victory. A lot of times, if we can just remember something that our moms probably said to us when we were children, and you didn't want to go to school, and you didn't feel good, and you wanted to stay in bed because that's just the flesh, and she would tell us, get up, get moving, and you'll feel better. Well, we didn't want to feel better because we didn't want to go to school. But I did notice when I got up and started moving, I did start to feel better in spite of not wanting to and in spite of not wanting to go. And if we will do that in that same attitude with depression, don't let yourself lay down. Don't tuck your head. Don't close the drapes or pull the covers over your head. You will begin to break free of that spirit's grasp. He won't be able to continue to suck you dry of your joy and of your peace and of your vitality. You'll get back just in your own ability. You'll get back what you need to. And as you reach for the Lord and you praise Him and call to Him, He will answer you.
Amen.
And His strength will come, and His blessing will begin to manifest in your life. And there's the victory.
Amen. I remember as a young man, I was filled with the Holy Ghost at the age of 16 years old and baptized in Jesus' name. And the Lord called me into the ministry at 17 years of age.
Wow.
Praise God. My father, who never served the Lord, never loved God, loved the Lord of the Bible in a biblical sense, he began to reveal to us that he was suffering with depression. And his immediate unveiling of it was to announce that he had tried to take his life and the gun had misfired. He had actually pulled the trigger and the hammer had hit the bullet and the bullet didn't fire. And that launched us into a period of praying and fasting for him, inviting him to Bible studies and inviting him to church. And it was interesting to me, he was very intelligent, college graduate, highly intelligent man. But it seemed to me that he had been plagued with a spirit of, and I never heard that phrase, a dark winged spirit. But he, even his poems that he had written from his youth up and in his college days, spoke of loneliness and death and darkness. And there was a brooding sense in his poetry. And,
yes, yes.
And when he, when it comes back down to that freedom of choice, that freedom of will that God grants. He's granted it to some angelic kinds or species, and he's granted it to humankind, that freedom of will. And my father would sit through a Bible study that was helping to lay a foundation for understanding the fall of man into sin by a choice to sin and why we needed redeemed. And rather than grasping those most essential elements, he seemed to zero in, and he chose to focus in on minutia. He would ask questions like, instead of about sin nature and salvation, he would ask questions like, you know, where did Cain get his wife? And it just seemed like through he just seemed to choose to always kind of focus on the wrong end of things. And but we pushed so hard, and of course we discovered firsthand that when someone is unwilling to choose God, the Lord will not force himself on
right.
them.
Right, that's exactly right.
And he did eventually take his life. And it seemed that there was a great deal of damage done to all five of his children. We were all teenagers. All five of his children were in their teenage years when he took his life. But of those five children, the damage done was different, and the long-lasting results were different depending on whether or not that child was choosing to serve God or not. But both myself and Janet both began to suffer from depression after he took his life. And in my case, I found freedom from depression through what you just described. And I was just a young man. Somehow I came into possession of a cassette tape, a taped recording of a youth camp message that Brother Anthony Mangan from Alexandria, Louisiana, had preached, a message on praise. And he brought out scripturally those benefits of just devoting yourself to God and giving praise and glory to Him. And one scripture in particular that he read during that message in Isaiah 61, it's a messianic prophecy about the Lord Jesus. It was given by God to the prophet Isaiah, but the Lord Jesus quoted it. He read from the scroll of Isaiah in the synagogue and told the people that this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. It was a scripture about Him. But although He's the primary fulfillment, we who are Holy Ghost-filled agents of God in the church today, we can be kind of a junior fulfillment or a secondary fulfillment.
Right.
That the Lord can use us to proclaim liberty to the captives. And this is what the scripture says: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners."
Yes.
"To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion." And these next few words illustrate a series of trades that God is willing to make for those who suffer. It says to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. In
yes,
other words,
yes.
Let's trade. You give me the ashes that you have wiped onto your forehead in mourning, and instead I'll give you a crown of beauty. And the next one says, the oil of joy instead of mourning. And then finally, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And in the King James Version, that's the New International I've been reading, but in the King James Version, it says the garment of praise for, or in other words, instead of, the spirit of heaviness.
And my.
When I listened to that cassette tape and I heard powerful presentation of the value of praise in the life of a believer, and I should mention that I was so severely attacked by depression at this time in my life, only 18 years old, after the suicide of my father, that my sleep regimen had been disrupted. I was not sleeping properly. My appetite had collapsed. I was not eating properly. I had lost weight until I was skin stretched over bone. I weighed less than 130 pounds. And I was severely depressed. And as a cognitive decision, I made a choice. It was an act of the will. I will praise God. It wasn't a matter of begging Him. It wasn't a matter of pleading. It was literally a matter of moving in a positive direction of, I will praise God.
And
I made up my mind, I will become a praise maniac. And I became the guy who, in the church service, I would jump and dance even if no one else in the service was jumping. I would clap my hands even if no one else was clapping. I would lift my voice even if no one else was lifting their voice. I praised my God. In the car, I would crank up the Christian music and I would sing to the Lord and praise God in the car on the way to and from work. I would dance before the Lord in my little apartment. When I got to work, I would praise the Lord under my breath. And within just a matter of days and weeks, I began to realize that I was eating again, I was sleeping right again, that pain of that depression had dwindled away. I couldn't put my finger on a certain day when it left, but just over time, the Lord used that atmosphere of praise that I had given myself over to give praise to Him. He used that to beat back that darkness. And I realized one day, I'm not depressed anymore.
Amen. Amen. My experience has been that the spirit of depression, as well as the spirit of suicide, that they will come knocking in every person's life or every person's condition, the looking for someone who will literally open themselves or is easily influenced and susceptible to their influence. And if they do come as they will and we open to them, well, then we've got problems.
Yeah.
But the answer is praising the Lord. It yeah. is turning to the God of our salvation and finding our strength in Him, because we don't really have the strength in ourselves. If we did, we wouldn't have ever needed a Savior.
You mentioned there are some behaviors that this spirit manipulates people toward.
Yes.
Isolating themselves from friends,
right.
drawing the curtains and staying in the darkness, not getting up to face life, not getting dressed, not opening the curtains, not showering, not getting out of the house.
That's right.
And it's as though that spirit knows that there are some unhealthy behaviors. In many ways, it's not so much can that spirit hurt you, it's the fact that you can hurt yourself. And if that spirit can manipulate you to do those harmful behaviors, then you've done that spirit's work for him.
That's exactly
and
right.
One of the things that I see in this passage in Isaiah, the Lord Jesus, as in, from his human nature, he read this, and of course his divine nature is clearly conveying that this is a messianic scripture pertaining to your human nature. And from his human aspect, he says, the Spirit of God is on me for a purpose.
Right.
This human flesh, this that is the man Christ Jesus, has a purpose in life. And the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the divine nature, has anointed this human nature for a purpose to fulfill.
Right.
And there's an outward focus in that. When a person gets so consumed that their only thought is, I'm going to take my life to end this pain, they are not thinking about their purpose in life and what they could accomplish for God. They may have given up hope on a purpose in life, but they're not thinking of the pain that they are going to inflict on their loved ones that will mourn their death and miss them for the rest of their days after their suicide.
That's right.
But part of it is wrapped up in deception. I think that spirit lies to them and says, no, you're being selfless by taking yourself out of the equation because you're such a pain to them. And they'll be so much better off without you. And of course, the Bible says that the devil is a liar and he's the father of lies. And to anyone in our listening audience, that if that dark spirit is telling you that your loved ones would be better off without you, hear the testimony of a man who has missed his father for my entire adult life and have needed him in my life, and he wasn't there because the devil convinced him that I would be better off without him. It was a lie, and that spirit is lying to you, and you must not believe it. And so there is an outward focus when you turn your life over to God and realize that no matter what bad has happened in your life or what dark water has come under the bridge, when you dedicate your life to Him, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and God will have a powerful divine purpose that He will appoint into your life. It won't be of the degree that Jesus' purpose was as the Messiah, but you can have a junior fulfillment, a secondary fulfillment. God will use you to have a purpose to accomplish, to bless and help others. And that's a big part of getting free from that depression. Brother Clark, thank you so much for coming to Clarksburg.
Yes.
We have been blessed by your ministry, and we are anxiously looking forward to when you will minister for us again in our Fresh Oil Conference. To everyone that's listening, we encourage you to come out to the House of God, to Christian Apostolic Church. Be blessed, healed, and delivered by the power of God through the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.